In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's good to be here with you together with you tonight. We had the opportunity also yesterday to visit the church when it was the wedding here. And that was really, really nice. I want first to bring readings to you from Finland, from our home congregation in Kokkola. That's where we live, together with our family, and where I also serve as one of the ministers there. And also greetings from the other preachers within the Swedish-speaking part of the Apostolic Lutheran Church in Finland. I was in touch with them before we came, and they sent loving greetings to everybody that we meet here. And also greetings from my mom and my siblings. My mom has been here together with my dad. That's almost 15 years ago, but many of you know her, and she sent lots of greetings to you. So be greeted. It's precious to be together, and it's special for us because we have, together with my wife and our family, been many, many times in the United States. Never in this area before, but visited church family and been on vacation in the U.S., on the West Coast and in Florida. And it's so nice and precious when you can travel on to the other side of the world and still you have the same church family that you meet. And to combine having the nice weather in the 90s in Florida in the winter time and have a church to go to. And even here now when we are together with you and during the convention, it's been really, really precious. And it means a lot to many of the brothers and sisters back in Finland also to keep up the connection between the two countries and the churches. We share the same heritage. We might do things a little bit different, but we share the same history and belong to the same church body. Every true believer in the world are Christians. They don't have to belong to the same church body. Everybody that believes in Jesus as their Savior and wants to follow Him are true believers, and they are brothers and sisters. But I have to admit, there's something special when you come into the same tradition. So it's really neat to be here. But we haven't gathered tonight just to talk about that, but we want to read a piece of Scripture and look into what God wants to teach us tonight. That's the most important thing when we gather. Because he preaches and he teaches and talks to us through his word. And he has something to tell us. And he wants to come into our lives, come into our hearts, and make things happen. So let's turn to Matthew 25 and verse 31. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. And this is a piece of scripture that's known to everybody of us. And we won't, it's quite a long text, and we won't go through it verse by verse, but we'll look into it and see what Jesus teaches about in this piece of Scripture. So let's read in Jesus' name and in prayer that he would speak. So it's Matthew 25, verse 31 to the end of the chapter. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. So this piece of scripture that we read happened or was taught in a context that actually starts in the beginning of the 24th chapter, when it says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the mountain Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? So this is where the 24th and the 26th chapter of Matthew starts from. And after this, Jesus started to teach them about the last times before his second coming, when Jesus will come back to judge the world. And when we read about the last time or the end times, it feels a little bit scary, doesn't it? It feels a little bit scary. And that's natural, because from our humanly part, it is a scary thing. But always when we think about and read about the end times, then we should read the whole concept and the whole teaching of Jesus Christ. Because it also says in the Bible that when these things start to happen, then we should lift up our eyes, because then our redemption or the then is close, or the that day when we can be with him in heaven is at hand. In the 24th chapter, Jesus teaches about and gives a few parables. He teaches about the fig tree. So he took a picture from the nature and taught them and us tonight that when certain things starts to happen, then we know that the time is getting close. And when we look through the last 2,000 years, it was already the end, the last times after Jesus came. And for unto me is not given the wisdom to look into the signs for the last times and say that, okay, now it's getting close and now it's getting closer. I don't want to do it. I don't have the wisdom, and I don't want to speculate in those things. But we have to remember, for each and every one of us, this could be the last day. And that's the important thing. This could be the last day for me. And when we think about that, we don't need to be scared. Because we can go back to what God teaches in His Word. That Jesus has redeemed us. And we are His children. We are God's children, even tonight. So Jesus keeps on, and He takes another parable also, the 10 virgins, and teaches about how important it is that we have oil in our lamps. These texts are all known to you. And then He also goes take a third parable about the talents and how important it is that we live our lives as Christians, the time that we have been given according to His will. And with these talents, we all have talents. God has given us different kind of gifts that we are to use in His kingdom. And it's of huge importance how we live our lives as Christians. And here's like a paradox in when we read the Bible. Because on one hand, God has done everything through Jesus Christ for us. So we are totally free in what He has done. He has brought us salvation. When Jesus came, suffered, died, and rose again. There's our justification. And we should never try to put anything into that. Because when Paul teaches about it in the Romans, he says that this was made and this was done while we still were sinners and enemies of Him. But then when we read the Bible about what it means to follow Christ, then we can also see that there's lots of, let's say, quote-unquote, demands putting on us. But these demands are not those kind of demands that we need to fulfill to be justified before the Lord. These are those kind of demands that comes from when God has given us so much, so we want to follow Him, and when He has loved us so much, we want to love our fellow Christians and all of humankind. When He has forgiven us so much, we also want to forgive. And of course, we all know here's a struggle. We can't perform anything. But as we see with the parable with the talents, it's important that we don't dig our talent down into the ground. God wants us to use the talents that He has given us according to our abilities, as Jesus teaches in that text. So it's for us to freely live our lives as Christians and serve the Lord. And when we look into the text that we read, we can see that it's of great importance how we live our lives. And yet again, we have to remind ourselves that we are not, we are not a part of the salvation by what we do, but what we do, that's something that follows because God has done everything for us. And when we think about these two groups that we had here now in the text, the sheep and the goats, what was the difference between them? If we first look at the sheep, Jesus told them how they had served Him in different situations. He was naked, He was hungry, He was in prison, and they served Him. And they could not understand when and where and how they had served Him. But then Jesus gives the answer when He says that everything what that you did with one of these mine, the least ones of mine, you did towards me. And then when it comes to the goats, they couldn't see any opportunity to serve that they would have missed. And Jesus says, when you didn't serve the least one of mine, you didn't serve me. And we can see right away that the difference was that the sheep, they were followers of Christ. And they had really, by the grace of God, the grace had been revealed on their hearts. So they could not think of a situation where they actually had done anything for Christ. They did never think that they, whatever they did, however much they loved their brothers and sisters and served them, they never could think that would be something that they would get any credit for. Because they knew that everything they had was in Jesus. But still they served. And it was like an automatic thing happening because they had received everything from Christ. And the goats, on the other hand, they were trying to find different situations where they could serve so they would earn something. And according to their own thoughts, they had really used every opportunity given to them to serve God, to serve Christ. But they did not see that without, if you haven't received the love of God, you can't really love. If you haven't received the forgiveness of Him, you can't really forgive. And when we look at the different places in the Bible, we can see that God wants us to serve Him. And it's so interesting when we read the Bible. And this is, here's the paradox. And you have, all of you have been thinking about this, I'm sure. Everything is given to us. But in many, many places in the Bible, it says that we are going to be judged according to our works. How many places, Dennis? 20, perhaps. Yeah. And so here's this is like an interesting paradox. And somehow we have to dare to look into it. Well, we can take a couple of places. We can take like Galatians 5:6, where it says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." We can take another place. We can take Revelation. Twentieth chapter and verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." And then we can take Revelation chapter 22. Verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Also in James, we can see the teaching about how a living faith accord always creates and causes works. And the faith can be seen by the way it is fulfilled in works. Also in Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And then that's the context where he teaches about the light and the salt of the world. So we can see that it's not of a small importance how we live our lives. But how can we put these two together? When the Bible teaches about salvation, it's clear that God has done everything for us. So Jesus or God doesn't need anything for our salvation. But still, he knows, because the Bible tells us so, that if we are in a living faith, we will also live our lives according to the Word of God. A living faith takes its food and its nutrition from the Word. And the Word tells us that we are to serve one another. This was also Jesus' example. And we can't really divide the two from each other. They are so closely together. So if we are judged according to the works, as the Bible says in many places, it's the same thing as when the Bible says that he has done everything for us. Because we can't separate them from each other. They come together. It's a package deal. It's a package deal for a true believer. And of course, we can look at Jesus' example in Philippians, in the second chapter, when he tells about that he came as a servant. He didn't come as a king when he came to serve. He came as the least one among us. But there's gonna come a day when he will not come as the least one. When he will come back as the King of Kings. And also, I love when Paul teaches about what it means to follow Jesus, because he didn't have a wrong kind of humbleness when he says that he is not worthy, but still he has done more than the others, he says. But then he concludes and says, "It's not me, but God's grace that's with me." And on the other hand, he also teaches about sin the same way. He says he doesn't do the things that he would want to do and does the things that he doesn't want to do. But he says there also that it's not him, but it's a sin that is still with him. So here we can see that Paul also teaches and explains where it comes from that he was so active when he followed Christ. And we know the story of Paul. We know how he changed from when he tried to do everything and to win the salvation through what he did himself. And then when he met Christ, he changed the other way. But he didn't stop following Christ when he met him. He didn't stop working and doing everything he could to proclaim and to give the gospel to people he met. But it was the love of Christ that forced him to go forward. It was so important that he followed Christ and did what was his talent in his life. When we look at the text that we have before us tonight, and we see the two sheep and the goats, we can see so clearly that even though God has created us as human beings with a mind, so we know what we do. You know, sometimes when we when when uh, when we read this text, we might think that, okay, this is something, the good works, that the faith within us forces us to do, is something that we are not aware of. Because if we are aware of it, it's not good works anymore. So right away when we start to think about, okay, do I have any fruit in my life? And we realize, okay, I remember I gave a $20 in the offering. Then you have to take that away because, okay, now I know it. Now I'm aware of it. So now I can't, it doesn't count. But that's not the way the word sees it here. Because what they said to Jesus was, when did we see you and didn't help you? The thing is, we are aware of what we do. But when Jesus has been revealed for us, and we see that he has done everything, then we don't count anything for credit, as credit for ourselves. We know that we are not worthy. But we also know that God loves us so much. So he sent Jesus for us. He really sent Jesus for us. For us that's gathered here tonight. By his love, or because of his love for you and me, we are his children tonight. And he calls us to serve, as we have read and looked into the Bible in a few places here. He calls us to serve in the capacity that we are in. It might be giving money to someone. It might be time, that we give time away. We have time to listen to a brother or a sister that needs us at that moment. Or it might be whatever. It might be sharing the gospel. When I read this text, and we look at the context here, what I see is that these are practical things that we are to do for each other. The gospel is there. We are to share the gospel. But we are also to help each other in practical manners. And when we look around ourselves here tonight in Spruce Grove, I'm not normally a part of this congregation, but when you look around yourself and you look at the people sitting next to you, these are the people that God has put in your life so you can serve each other. And of course, also others. But the congregation that we call our home congregation, that's an important field where we are to serve. Because we need each other. We need each other in the kingdom of God. While we live our lives here, we need each other. And we are called to serve each other. So the paradox, it's quite simple, actually. God has done everything for us. By his grace, we are his children. He has forgiven us through what Jesus did when he came here. And this is everything was done 2,000 years ago. And we can't add anything to that. But once we have received it, we are called to serve, and we are called to be a part of the Jesus Christ tree, be branches and carry fruit. And that fruit is, among other things, that we are there for each other. It's also joy, it's love, and the other characteristics that's mentioned in Galatians 5. So even tonight, we can put all our trust in what Jesus has done. And we can believe that we are his children. We have the right to believe that we are his children. And therefore, we can also tell each other that may we walk in peace and serve each other with joy. Because it's lots of joy in being a follower of Christ. It doesn't mean it's always easy. Our lives are full of struggle and different kind of tribulations, even as Christians. But God, He is faithful. Jesus will be with us through our lives, all the way. And also for you children, you small children, Jesus is your best friend. He is with you wherever you go. When you go to school, when you play with your friends, Jesus is always with you. And for us that's in the middle of the life also, Jesus is with us. And for you that's perhaps getting closer to the end, naturally seen, Jesus is with you. And He will never, ever, ever leave you. Because it's a fact that He has forgiven you all your sin. And you can freely believe it tonight. And he will be with you all the way until that day. If that, we don't know if that is the day when Jesus comes back or if it's the day when you and I die. We don't know. And we don't need to speculate. But we can trust that He is with us. So may God bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before closing in prayer, I would want to thank you. This is the last opportunity that we have with Dana, my wife, before we go back to Finland. We have been traveling now for 2 weeks in this area. It's been really precious to meet all of you and lots of people in the other congregations as well. We thank you for all the love that we have been showed. And we will take greetings with us back to Finland. And when you pray for the things that you pray for, that God puts on your heart, I also ask you to pray for us in Finland, for our family, and for brothers and sisters in Finland. We have the same kind of struggle and the same kind of life and journey that you have. But we also have the same joy that you have. We share that. So thanks a lot. Thanks for everything. And after the services here tonight, we'll leave almost right away. Because we are going to drive to Minneapolis tonight and spend the night in the hotel there and fly out in the morning and fly to New York City and spend a couple of days there before we go back. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace that you have shown us. We thank you for that we also can serve you in the different capacities that we have and in the different with the different talents that you have given us. Please make us willing to serve you wherever we are in our lives. We are so thankful, dear Lord, that we can share the fellowship with each other, which is a fellowship together with you, Jesus. We are so thankful that we can leave everything in your hands. We are so thankful that we, even though we have a tendency to worry about things, we don't need to worry. You have promised us that you will be with us every day and you will take care of everything. And you tell us in your word that we should bring everything to you in prayer and in thanks. Bless us as a new week starts. Bless us wherever we are. And we also ask you to protect us during the coming night. And we leave each other in your protecting hands. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.